Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And although we are not quite live, we're so close, we might as well be. It is storming in Wisconsin, and I'm not talking about those, you know, Florida sort of storms with a little bit of rain and a little bit of wind. We're getting snow, and it's been snowing for the last few hours, and decided to drive into the studio a bit early, record it, so I can go home and be with my family as this snow continues to come down. I'm looking out the window and it hasn't gotten any better. But we are under a snow warning. And still I come out to speak to you on this day when this nation officially became a clown show. So if you've got a little red nose, I know Walgreens used to give those out for a dollar donation to St. Jude's, I believe. And I've got one somewhere because, you know, it's a dollar for a children's hospital. Why wouldn't I give it if I have it to give? And they gave me a clown nose. Well, if I find that clown nose, I'll be sure to put it on today because we have become officially, unequivocally, a clown show. I don't know how we've gotten here, friends, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, but we are. House Democrats passed the resolution Thursday to formalize the rules and proceedings regarding their impeachment inquiry. So even though there is no evidence of wrongdoing, even though everything they have is hearsay, secondhand testimony, or thirdhand testimony, or opinion, they are proceeding with this. So yes, whoop-dee-doo for the next year, this is what we will be having to deal with. Never mind infrastructure, never mind military, never mind the clear present danger on the border. Nope, we got to get the big orange man out of office because we can't win against him. Now, you know, the Senate is the bulwark. The Senate is where this thing's going to fall apart because there's no evidence to actually, you know, throw this man out of office. There's no high crimes and misdemeanors. They're just, it's just bloviation. And every single news network is having, just a celebratory hoorah because they realize their ratings are about to jump again. And they'll have something to talk about nonstop, ad nauseum, until, you know, the Democrats pick somebody to go through the 2020 elections, which if this is the road they decide to go down, I believe they're going to lose even, you know, middle of the road people or, you know, Democrat lights who aren't really into the whole, we have to, you know, eat our dead to save the planet mindset. Because thankfully, as of yet, the numbers are growing. It's undeniable that we're seeing the numbers growing in people and in demographics that are okay with socialism in this country, that are okay with the most aberrant and the most just off-the-wall lunacy, but they're not anywhere near a majority yet. It's still, what, 15% that are all hip, hip, hooray for socialism. Now, give it another 8 years, give it another 12 years, and this constitutional republic of ours will be in grave danger. I'm not saying the next elections aren't important. They are extremely important because people have a tendency to get lazy. People have a tendency to get complacent. People have a tendency to get comfortable. And people also have a tendency to forget. they have a tendency to forget how bad it could get. I was around in 2007 and 2008. I know that's a shocker, but I was. And I remember people looking for jobs that couldn't find jobs. And I remember people willing to work off the books for $5 an hour because they needed to make rent or because their family needed food. See, the problem is that we get very comfortable when things are going good. And we forget how horrible they could be. I think this is why when you ask anyone that comes from a communist country or a formerly communist country, or even, let's call it socialist, even though it's the same thing. Anybody that tells you socialism and communism are not the same thing is a fool. Don't believe them. Turn around, walk away. Because the only difference between socialism and communism is that communism uses force. Socialism is communism without the power of force. It's still the same nonsense. It still goes nowhere. It still fails every single time it's tried. So let's not go down that particular rabbit trail, shall we? Well, no, it's not the same thing. Communism's communism and socialism's socialism. No, it's the same thing. Because socialism is the gateway to communism. It always descends into it. Because there is always going to be a tipping point. There is always going to be that moment where there are more takers than there are givers, and when you have to take more from those that give in order to placate and satisfy the takers. And there comes a point where people are taxed so egregiously that they realize, hey, it's not worth me getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and getting blisters on my hand to go and pay 76% to the government so a guy with a face tattoo that smells of bong water all day can sit in his mom's basement and play video games off my taxpayer dollar. So I'm going to do like everyone else. I'm going to sit home and relax and let my blisters heal. See, there's always that when you make it so that somebody's hard work becomes meaningless, when you make it so that people work just to pacify and satisfy government and those that are leeches on the teat of government, that's when the descent begins and that's when force needs to be applied. But by then it's too late, because by then you have a majority of lazy people that don't want to do anything but take from something because, hey, it's free. There's nothing free. Stop saying it's free. It comes from somewhere. Nothing in this world is free. But it's so easy to fall for the trap. Well, we're going to take from the rich and we're going to give to the poor and everyone's going to be equal. Yeah, equally miserable, but then once you give to the poor what you've taken from the poor get a taste for it. This is another thing nobody wants to talk about. This is another thing nobody wants to sort of, you know, poke at. Once you give the poor a taste of what you've taken from the poor live with the expectation of having a taste every single month, year in and year out, until the day they close their eyes and go off to eternity. It's not a one-time deal. You get people hooked on free stuff, they're going to want more free stuff. And when it comes to the point that a majority in this country won't care where the free stuff is coming from, or won't care that somebody who worked hard all of their life and built a business and hired people now has to declare bankruptcy because they're being taxed out of existence, when it comes to that point that a majority really don't care that they haven't earned what's being given them, then so much for the experiment called a constitutional republic. And we're coming to that. And it's scary to me because so many people are so selfish and so full of themselves and so self-absorbed that they don't care that it's coming out of somebody else's pocket. They don't care that it's being taken away from somebody who worked for it. Am I getting it for free? Okay, that's good. That's good. As long as I'm getting it for free, I don't care where it comes from. And it's not just a socialist thing, and it's not just a communist thing. I know Christians that are the same way. I know Christians that have the same mindset. You have a portion of believers who are givers, and then you have a disproportionate number of believers who are takers. And God bless those who give. God bless the givers because they make work possible. I had people write me hate mail because I chose to speak at a conference where they charged like $80 for tickets. Well, I'm sorry, they had to rent the hall. Somebody had to pay for it. It's not free. It was raining outside, so we couldn't have a parking lot meeting. But we don't think this stuff through. We just react in the flesh every single time. It's not free? What do you mean it's not free? Well, because nothing is. In this world, nothing is free save for salvation. It costs somebody something. And we're seeing this shift in mindset where if you have it, then give it to me. But why? I worked for what I have. I woke up early and I went to bed late. And I made it so I built something. Why would I give it away just because you say it's my fair share? Who determines fair share? Now, I wasn't going to get into this. There were so many other things I wanted to talk about. But all of them are bleak and grim. All of them are dark. Maybe it's the weather. And if I'm starting to get cabin fever now with the first snowfall, and it's not even November, imagine how just crotchety I'll be by May. I'll just get on here and start screaming. But there's just so many things that we can point at and go, this is one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons we're in the situation we're in. This is one of the reasons that we are in a constant decline. This is one of the reasons that things are not getting better spiritually or culturally. And there's a long laundry list. And nobody wants to confront these issues. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's not popular. Because we've gotten used to this, you know, endorphin shot of happy, peppy people. We've gotten used to this endorphin shot of everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Well, not for everyone, I'm sorry. And perhaps it's not going to be all right. Perhaps it's going to be real horrible. Perhaps it's going to be dark and gloomy. Perhaps your imagination cannot fathom just how bad it can get in a nation of 330-odd million people where the majority now feels that they're no longer represented by their government, where the majority now feels that their elected officials prioritize people who are in this country illegally, who do not contribute to the nation in any way but simply take, when people that aren't supposed to be here in the first place are prioritized above citizens, when they're prioritized above veterans, when they're prioritized above people who paid into the system for 50, 60 years and now are told, hey, we can't give you what you expect us to give you. We can't give you what we promised we would give you as far as, you know, Social Security is concerned. But I paid in. Well, I understand that. But see, there's more people that came to the table. You may have paid for the pizza, but now there's 40 people that want a slice. That's not fair. Well, it's the new fair. And this is the downward spiral into which we are descending. This is what keeps happening. And there are certain people that are still trying to shed a light on it. And call it what you may, call it, you know, the globalist agenda, because there is one. And yes, there are globalists. they want to shut this sort of opinion down. They don't want the average citizen to start thinking these things through and going, hey, why am I paying to get somebody's 7 children into public school so that my own kid is in a classroom of 180 when they're not paying anything in property tax or income tax? They're just, you know, bringing their kids to school. If somebody, and I'm not going to do it because that's not my thing. I don't want to get become this quasi-political guy. But if somebody sat down and did the math of just how much taxpayer resources go towards individuals that have no legal bearing to be here, it would frighten you. And yet somehow they're number one with a bullet when it comes to more resources being delegated. There are presidential candidates promising free health care for anyone, anywhere, at any time. It doesn't matter if you've been here for 3 minutes. And again, we return to this question. Is anything really free? No, somebody's going to have to pay for it. And what you're going to see is what you've seen basically throughout the world when this sort of policy was implemented. You're going to see a shortage of doctors. You're going to see a shortage of nurses because they're just not going to want to deal with the influx. You're going to see a lot of people go into private practice or concierge medicine. And that'll last for a while until somebody from the government decides it's not fair. Because, you know, it's not fair. And you can't force somebody. Unless we live in a tyrannical dictatorship, you cannot force somebody to work for free or to take a huge pay cut because you've decided we're going to cover everybody. Yeah, sure, your taxes are going to go up by another 100%, but, you know, you don't have to pay a deductible. But how long is it going to take me to see a doctor? Oh, don't worry about that. Well, but I kind of worry because, you know, right now, even if I pay for a policy, if I don't feel well and if I'm hurting, I can make an appointment and see a doctor the same day. Will that be the case when everybody gets medicine and medical care and aid and all of that for free? Look, in Romania, the country I'm from, they have what we would deem socialized medicine. It's single payer. People pay through the nose for horrible service. I took my wife to the ER once because she had a terrible migraine and nothing was helping. And I said, hey, let's get in the car. Let's go to the emergency room. The emergency room was overflowing with gypsies by proportion of 95% to 5%. And all of them had ailments that could have easily been cured by, I don't know, some Alka-Seltzer. But you couldn't even walk through the hall of the emergency room because on the left and on the right, there were gypsies who knew that it was free, who knew that they could get a checkup. Do you think it's going to be any different here when people hear, hey, go to the ER, it's free? It's going to be glut. It's going to be so overcrowded that you would rather sit home and wait for merciful death than wait for 8 hours to be told, well, you know, we need to send you to somebody else. But is there a wait for that too? Well, of course, because everything's free. And you have doctors who've gone to school for decades, who specialized with the, I don't know, justifiable expectation that once they're all done with their schooling, they can actually earn more money than, I don't know, a plumber. And when government begins to offer universal health care, one of the things it will do, because it must, is regulate pay. Because it's single payer, there's not going to be Aetna Health, and there's not going to be ProHealth, and there's not going to be anybody else that pays these doctors. They'll be government employees. And even though someone might be the best in their field, specialized and highly regarded, I guarantee you he's not going to make a penny more than the other guy who went through medical school because, you know, daddy was somebody special. And those people are just going to get bitter. And those people are just going to throw their hands up in frustration and go, it's not worth it. We're unboxing a can of worms the likes of which this nation has never seen. And the fact that even 15% of the populace is gung-ho about it, quite frankly, frightens me. Because when you start thinking these things through logically, not pie in the sky, oh, we're going to make it work. You know, we're Americans. We're going to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. Well, yeah, but Americans did it for Americans. If you open the borders and offer everything for free, you're going to have, what, a billion plus people in this country? All of them not here as Americans, but all of them here as grifters, as people who realized, hey, we can get on government dole, we can get free subsidies, we can get this and that, and we don't have to live in Chihuahua and go and pick pineapples. We can live in Los Angeles and get free dinero from the government. If they do open the borders and then have universal health care and have, what's the newest thing, a guaranteed minimum income, where's that going to come from, pray tell? Where's the guaranteed minimum income going to come from? The government's going to print more money? If it does, then it'll devalue the money you already have or the money you already make. Look, I grew up in a certain kind of neighborhood. I grew up around a certain kind of people. I have to say this because it has to be said by somebody, and hey, I'm here, so might as well do it. Not everyone who comes to this country comes with the expectation of assimilation. They don't come to America in the hopes of becoming American. They come to America in the hopes of making some money, sending it back home, having abuela or abuelo or, you know, an aunt or an uncle build them a little home in Chihuahua. And then eventually, after just, you know, leeching every resource available, going back to Chihuahua to live out the rest of their lives. God bless those that want to come to America and become American, that understand the history of this nation, that understand its founding, that understand that people died in order to preserve freedom. But not everyone who comes here wants to be that, especially if they do so illegally. That means you're already starting out by disrespecting the laws of the land where you want to come to. I'm so sorry, it's not assimilation. Swimming across the Rio Grande or coming across the border, you know, from California doesn't mean you want to become American. Because people that really want to assimilate do so legally. They do paperwork and they wait and they run the risk of being rejected and all this stuff. Because their plan for their future is to raise children and raise their grandchildren in this country as part of this country, not as someone in this country exporting the goods of this country to another country. So I hope that made sense. But back to the clown show. Yes, it's not just Pierre Delecto that is a clown. Apparently, the entirety of Congress, save two Democrats, are clowns as well. They two Democrats voted nay on the impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump. And again, I don't care how you feel about the man. This is lunacy on its face. If this is a high crime and misdemeanor, and this is the new benchmark that we use to prosecute and throw out presidents, then I submit to you there will not be another president to serve a full four-year term in our lifetime. That is, if the Republicans decide to play as dirty as the Democrats. But see, it frustrates me that even those that call themselves conservative are oftentimes Democrat-like. I don't know. I don't see a good outcome with the political system remaining the way it is. I've actually written articles on this. Everyone's a grifter. Everyone has a vested interest. Everyone's got some side gig. Everyone's got a promissory note from, I don't know, Walmart or Comcast or Google or some big boy that doesn't care how much money they pay them. When you retire, you take care of us, we'll take care of you. And then they go off to serve no-show jobs for $1 million a year. But when you strip it back and you realize what they've done is they've betrayed their constituency, they've betrayed the citizenry of this country for easy money for themselves. And it's not just Democrats, Republicans do it too. Paul Ryan's what? On the board of Fox now. Do you think that was just because he was so qualified and talented and gifted? He's from Wisconsin. He doesn't have a background in media. He doesn't have a background in any of this. But he was a politician, and he still has politician friends. And you know what? If the time comes, when the time comes, and they need a little favor, guess who they're going to send to Capitol Hill to lobby on their behalf? And the reason I'm going down this path today is to make something crystal clear. There's more than one way in the current climate, with the way things are. There is more than one way that the average citizen can get fed up and either throw his hands up and quit, or do something much worse. I do believe that civil unrest is coming to this country. I'm seeing it more clearly with each passing day. And the only thing that is of import, the only question that remains to be asked is, what exactly is going to be the spark that lights the powder keg? Because something will. At this juncture, at this point, it's inevitable that the powder keg will explode, that a spark will find its way and hit right where it's supposed to. Look, what they're attempting to do is overturn the will of 63 million people that voted this man into office, whether you like him or not. I'm sorry, he won fair and square. It's part of the way we do the business. The man won fair and square. He has personally exceeded my expectations as far as what I hoped he'd do as president. 63 million people voted for him. and a handful of angry, bitter folk are trying to overturn that. Now, I hope that it doesn't get any farther than the House, and I hope that, you know, it'll get buried in the Senate. But, and listen to me on this, hear me out. There are enough lifers in the Republican ranks. There are enough professional politicians who don't like the fact that this man came in like a bull in a china shop and disrupted everything, who might be convinced or swayed to vote to have him removed from office. Now, with the evidence that they currently have, there is nowhere near anything resembling high crimes and misdemeanors. Opinions of what he should have done don't count. Was it breaking the law? No. Move along. To have somebody come in, well, this is how I think he should have done it. And who are you? Are you an elected official? No. You're a bureaucrat. Now, the people elected him to do it the way he thought it should be done. If you don't like it, vote in the next election. I'm sure Bernie's going to be very cooperative when he starts nationalizing everything. So sick of this. And everyone, look, I understand how ludicrous it seems. But if we don't say anything, if we don't push back, if there's no reaction to what's going on, they're just going to be more emboldened. And I think that they're interpreting people's silence as consent for doing what they're doing. Look. Because I had somebody, well, what about Bill Clinton? Excuse me? Bill Clinton was found guilty. Bill Clinton did the deed. Bill Clinton was disbarred for a year. He wasn't allowed to practice law. Bill Clinton did it. And still, when they tried to impeach him, his popularity soared. It just shot through the roof. This man is not guilty of either high crimes nor misdemeanors. He asked the president of a friendly country to whom we're sending much money if he had a handle on the corruption. It wasn't quid pro quo. There's no demonstrable way that you can read the transcript of the telephone call and say, oh, that's quid pro quo. There was no quo. But man, they're clinging to straws. And they're making the average citizen either numb or angry. And both of these are very dangerous mindsets. Being numb and being angry are two of the most dangerous mindsets you can possess. Because when you're numb, nothing really matters anymore. In certain circles, there's something called tilt. That's basically another word for numb. It's when somebody is out gambling or something, and they lose so much money, they no longer feel it. And they say they go on tilt. Basically, they make all the wrong decisions continuously. I think we've been bombarded with all this nonsense for the last 3 years that we're on tilt, we're numb. Where do we go from here? I mean, everyone associated with this administration's been called a Nazi at some point. Everyone that voted for the current president's been called a Nazi at some point. What possible thing can we expect to hear that's worse than that? And so most people have just grown numb. they're going on about their daily lives. They're going to work. They're coming home. They're going to bed, waking up, and doing it all over again. But what we must keep track of is that these people aren't stopping. They are proceeding with the narrative. They are proceeding with their plan. And they have a compliant media that's just giddy about what's happening. So let's see. This is what happened. House Democrats passed the resolution Thursday to formalize the rules and proceedings regarding their impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump. The House Democrats passed H. Resolution 660 that would establish the rules and proceedings surrounding impeachment. The vote featured two Democrats, most likely Representatives Van Drew from New Jersey and Colin Peterson of Minnesota, I think, who voted against the resolution. No Republicans voted for the resolution in a show of Republican support for the president and against the impeachment inquiry. Oddly enough, Representative Justin Amash of Michigan voted for the impeachment process resolution. He is now an independent because he was very, very unhappy that, what was it, the China thing. He had investments in China that went sideways when we started having a tariff war with the Chinese. So, again, every single one of these people has a grift. Every single one of these people has a vested interest to see things go a certain way. I become speechless more and more often nowadays, just to see the grift, just to see how horrid human beings can be. Speaker Nancy Pelosi, of course, has insisted for weeks the House has no constitutional requirement to vote on a bill that would authorize an impeachment inquiry. Well, to that I say, madam, due process. Ha! Huh. See, everyone's entitled to due process in this country. That's the beauty of our legislative system. Even the man you think is a Nazi and the devil himself is, constitutionally, allowed and should have due process. What she is saying is that we've gone back to the old Russian mindset. You know, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. If we push long enough, if we keep at it long enough, we can clump a few things together. We could cobble a few things together and come up with a crime. Since when was it anyone's responsibility in this country to prove their innocence? Because I tell you this, and this is why you should be concerned about this. If they can do this to a sitting president, imagine what they can do to you. This is the reason that this is so upsetting. Look, Donald Trump's a big boy. He can handle this. He released the transcript, so anybody that says anything is hearsay. Is their interpretation of something that didn't occur. It's basically a baseless accusation, and they're moving forward with it. If they can do this to a sitting president, imagine, just imagine, what they can do to little old you or little old me. I'm just a guy trying to feed his family. Do you think they'd hesitate for a second? Look, and all of these things are interconnected. This is the thing that I need to get across to you. I was reading, what was it, yesterday? General Michael Flynn. I know some of you know this name. Some of you might remember it. Evidence has come out that this man was basically railroaded by the FBI. They made up, out of whole cloth, both testimony and intent and they bankrupted a man who served honorably, who was a general. Yes, yes, there is a difference between the two sides. If you can't see that, then I'm sorry for you. They took a good man and dragged his reputation through the mud. They literally bankrupted him to the point that he had to sell his home to pay for attorneys. A man who served his nation honorably. And you know why? Because when he was appointed early on in this administration, he said his first job, the first thing on his docket, was to audit the intelligence services of these United States. And now, new evidence has arisen that this is exactly the reason this man was railroaded, that his life was upturned, because he had the temerity, he had the gall to say that he wanted to audit the intelligence agencies of this nation. I'm sorry, intelligence agencies are bureaucrats. They're not elected officials. If bureaucrats start making policy, if bureaucrats are the final word regarding what this nation does, then boy, kids, we're in bigger trouble than even I thought. Because this is what this whole Ukraine thing is about. Bureaucrats disagreed with the way that we proceeded. It wasn't against the law. There was no quid pro quo. They just didn't like the way this guy was doing it. And by golly, they had to say something. But none of them came forward as firsthand. Everything's third hand, second hand. This is what I heard from somebody. That looks bad to me. But they released the transcripts. This was the phone call. This is what was said. How long can we keep applying pressure to the already fractured and fragile state of this union before you hear the snap, before you hear the crunch, before something gives? Because for the next, 12 months, this is going to be a clown show. They're going to try to do everything they can to undermine this administration. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a repeat of, what was it? Harry Reid put out something that Pierre Delecto, also known as Mitt Romney, didn't pay his taxes, which was absurd, which was a lie. But it got traction because the media wanted the other guy to win. And after it all shook out, after Pierre Delecto lost, and after Obama became president, somebody asked Harry Reid, was any of it true? Is it true that he didn't pay his taxes? And Harry Reid's famous answer was, does it matter? We won, didn't we? And this is the scary time that we're in. This is why I keep going back to this. Because there is a segment in politics today that is willing to win at all costs. They're willing to win no matter who gets destroyed, no matter if the accusations are true or false, no matter if there's any evidence. We must destroy this administration. We must destroy this president. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. But see, to the people, it does matter. And I think in their rush to do this, they haven't accounted for the people. Because these elected officials really do believe that they're your betters. They really do believe that they are superior to you in every way, that you are a peasant, a serf, a servant, a slave. And they are the new aristocracy. They are the new monarchy. I don't know how we came for elected officials to think this way, but we're here. And the question remains, what are we going to do about it? Because something has to give. I'm sorry, I am unwilling. Nay, I refuse to consider Maxine Waters my better. I refuse to consider myself in servitude to Nancy Pelosi. I don't know. Call me an oddball, huh? But when elected officials begin to think that they are your superiors, that they are not there to do the will of the people, but to enrich themselves, anyone who comes in to threaten the status quo has to be destroyed, has to be annihilated. And my concern is this, that there are enough grifters, even in the Republican Party. There are enough people on the take. There are enough people that have side deals. There are enough people who apparently come from such good stock and such brilliant families that every single one of their children, grandchildren, nieces, cousins, nephews have businesses, import exports with China and other places, raking in money. It's amazing, isn't it? Somehow, every single relative that our elected officials have begin to bloom only once they've been elected. Before that, they're living in trailer homes wondering where their next bong hit's going to come from, and all of a sudden, Auntie Maxine gets elected. And 40 years later, they're all heads of industry running their own multinational, multi-billion-dollar businesses. I guess maybe it was just the inspiration, huh? Maybe they saw that a monosyllabic race baiter couldn't make it, and they said to themselves, hey, if she can do it, Lord knows we can, because Auntie Maxine's not smart. Maybe that was it. But we should, shouldn't we, question our elected officials, or that's against the law now too. We should point out the fact that their spouses have million-dollar businesses that sprouted out of nowhere only after they were elected. Before that, they were dog groomers. Understand that they don't make politicians the way they used to. The people that founded this country weren't even politicians, man. They were patriots. They had a vision of what this nation could be, and they sacrificed themselves in order to achieve that vision. I think that's one of the reasons this president scares so many people on both sides. He's a throwback to that patriotism mindset. He's a throwback to that idealism that the nation comes first. Because if you believe for an instant that him being president and him taking the stances that he's taken hasn't cost him financially, then you haven't been keeping up. And he doesn't seem to care that it's costing him business, that it's costing him money. Because like I said, I do look at the man and I see a throwback to simpler times. And that's what they want to snuff out. Because no matter how this thing shakes out, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. No matter how this thing shakes out, the people saw that there was somebody that wasn't in office for themselves, but was in office for the people that put him there. And I think that the reason they're trying to destroy this man and his family is to make sure that 8 years from now, or 4 years from now, or 12 years from now, somebody else that just wants the best for their nation doesn't decide to run for higher office. See, the swamp rats have determined that the swamp is theirs. And anyone that threatens that ecosystem must be dealt with harshly. So, I'm not going to tell you who to support, who to vote for. I'm just laying out the situation the way I see it. This is how Mike sees the current climate. You may disagree with me, and if you do, God bless you. But one thing that we can agree on, I think, is that we are in peril as a nation. One thing that we can agree on, I think, is that things are not getting any better. One thing we can agree on, I think, is that this nation needs Jesus now more than ever before. And I know you might not believe it at this juncture. You might even think that I'm being hyperbolic. But it won't take much. I don't believe it would take much for you speaking in the name of Jesus to become illegal, unlawful. Because some confused teenager somewhere might hear you say the name Jesus and be thoroughly offended. And we can't have that. See, it's no longer about facts, it's about feelings. And when a nation is led by feelings rather than fact, its end will not be pretty. Because there are individuals, some even in government today, that have nefarious plans for this nation and for you as a citizen. There are also the useful idiots who believe the claptrap that's being bombarded at them day in and day out. They will be used until they are no longer of use, and then they too will be done away with. Because we've adopted this mindset in this country that if things don't go the way we want, if I can't have the ball, then no one can. You have people actively in government today. Some bureaucrats, some lifelong Congress people and senators and other things that would rather see this entire experiment of a constitutional republic come to ash than for this nation to return to the mindset of the people, for the people, by the people. Because they don't see a place for themselves in that environment. And they are astute enough and they are aware enough to understand that they do not have the mental wherewithal. they do not have the ability or capacity to survive in the real world. Tell me what Auntie Maxine could have done, other than grift her own people for the last 40 years to live in a $4 million mansion. What, baker? Janitor? Because oddly enough, I don't see Auntie Maxine as neurosurgeon material. So this is why these people are fighting so hard. Because everything they've grifted and stolen and lied, everything they've amassed through their hypocrisy is being threatened by someone who agrees that the people of this nation must come before the bureaucrats of this nation. So, I know we got political today. I apologize. Next week, it'll be something new, I promise. But for now, I thank you for listening. I thank you for being with us. We are going to be, I believe, in Indiana this weekend. So if you are in the region, want to come up and say hi. I promise I won't talk politics, but it's a church setting, so I get to preach. Gino will give you the info on that. Until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. Gino, it's all yours if you've got anything to say.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Yes, we will be Saturday night, Shipshawana, Indiana, at Ben's Pretzels Conference Room, located at 100 East Berkeley Drive in Shipshawana, Indiana. Again, 6:30 p.m. And Sunday morning, we will be at Northwoods Chapel. And that's address is, and I'll go slow with it here, 28220 County Road 52, Napanee, N-A-P-P-A-N-E-E, Indiana, 46550. Mike will be speaking at the Sunday school that morning, as well as the church service, and then my wife and I will share music. The phone number, if you want to call the church, is 574-773-7895. Please get the word out to your friends about this meeting, and as Mike said, we're in very important times for all of us to be strong and defend what's right before the Lord. So thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. Or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.